What's the difference between DIY and doing it yourself? It's the difference between a part-time passion and a full-time business. Wix gives you the power to turn your passion into a moneymaker with a website that fits your unique vision and the business tools you need to succeed. Let your ideas flow with AI that guides you but keeps you in the driver's seat. Manage your business from one dashboard and keep it growing with built-in marketing features. It's time to turn your daydream into your dream job. Do it yourself. Go to Wix.com.
Liebe Leute, jetzt gibt's was ganz Besonderes. Ich sitze hier mit Troy Baker, den kennt ihr natürlich. Der hat unter anderem Booker DeWitt gesprochen oder auch in Death Stranding ist er mit dabei. Und er wird natürlich auch im neuen Indiana Jones Spiel eine tragende Rolle spielen, denn er wird in die Rolle von Indiana Jones schlüpfen. Troy, thank you for taking the time to talk to us
today. I'm always so impressed when I see someone flip from one language to the other. I'm happy to be here and thank you for taking the time.
Yes. So I want to talk to you about you a little bit. From what I read, you're from Dallas, Texas, right?
Originally from Texas, absolutely.
Do you still have connections to that city?
I always will. I'll always be a Texas boy at heart. Matter of fact, I just went on vacation with my family to a ranch and much to the chagrin of my friends, easily put on a cowboy hat and some boots and went on a ride for 2 hours. So
nice.
Yeah.
Because I actually went to SMU for 2 years there.
You did?
Yes, I did.
Go Mustangs. All right.
Yes, exactly. Go Mustangs. So it's, when I found out that you're from there, I was like, oh, that's pretty damn cool. So I'm going to have to mention that somehow
today. Absolutely, you do.
So, let's get into the business. I mean, how did everything start with you, especially on the video game side? Do you still remember, like, the first game that you did?
I do, very much so. So, I was in Dallas, and I was in a band, and in the music scene, which is how I thought I was going to make my mark in the world, a friend of mine named Dave McGarry came to me and said, hey, I work at this game company. You do some voice stuff. Can you maybe be the guy in our thing? I was like, sure. So I went to Gearbox Software over the weekend and we went into the computer room. He threw a microphone over the ceiling, down into the computer room, turned off the AC, and we recorded Brothers in Arms. And we went from there. That game came out. They wanted to use me for the national commercial. And it was literally just that led to this, which led to that, which led to this. And here I am, you know, 20 years later, sitting in front of you talking about one of the greatest IPs of all time.
How would you say the whole, like, voiceover scene has changed in that time? I mean, as you said, you got into it sort of like, I would almost say by accident, and, you know, that job led to different jobs. Would you say something like that could happen today again, or is it a lot more professional? Is it a lot more...
Sure.
Is there a more business side to it nowadays?
I think there is, and I'm... People ask me all the time, like, how do I get into this industry? And I would actually say it's very much like Indiana Jones. He never has a plan. I never had a plan for this. This was literally just, I found an opportunity, I stumbled through it, and it has led me to where I am today. But one of the things that has changed is obviously the advent of incorporating motion capture. As games have gone more cinematic, the need to capture things in a higher fidelity, not only just from a pure pixel count standpoint, but also just the caliber of stories that we're telling and the level of performance that we're trying to achieve, the cinematic quality. Like when we shot this like a movie. So we're on set, we're shooting this in Stockholm, Sweden, and we're on this stage, which is a mocap volume, which is surrounded by all these, you know, infrared cameras that are capturing our body's movements in these suits. But in addition to that, we're building these sets so that we're actually interacting with our environment, as well as we have Kyle Klutz, who's our DOP, that's there with two Aries with anamorphic lenses that is there to capture the same kind of cinematic quality as Douglas Slocum did in 81 on Raiders. And then all of that data gets then transferred to our character models of Indiana Jones or Emmerich Voss or Gina or Locus or Marcus Brody, and then placed into the environment that they're creating. It's wild, man.
And I mean, especially when you compare and contrast this to like the stuff that you did for Brothers in Arms, where you said somebody threw a mic.
Duct tape and baling wire in the beginning. And now it's a level of complication that is just astounding, staggering.
Is the whole motion capture thing, is that something that you do now in every game, or are there still games where motion capture is not required that you lend your voice to a protagonist?
There's a lot that, as games have gone bigger, I've been fortunate to do a lot of AAA games, so a lot of them have incorporated that kind of technology. But I don't believe that that's what every game needs to do. One of my favorite games is a game called Inside, which is a 2D black and white side scroller. You know, you're not going to do mocap for that. So I think that it's the same thing Indiana Jones does. It's the right tool for the right job. It's sometimes I'm going to use my fist. Sometimes I'm going to use a revolver. Sometimes I'm going to use the whip. What's the right tool to get me through this situation? And for this game, for what we need to accomplish, performance capture made sense. But for a smaller title or for a different game telling a different story, you may not need to use it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you're slipping into the skin of Harrison Ford, basically.
Yeah.
Were you worried about that? When you heard about that?
Yes.
I mean, what went through your head when you basically got the call? Or how did this whole collaboration come together? Was this something you always had on your radar? Did they contact you and ask you about it? I mean, how did this come together?
Man, I would love to tell you that right out of the gate, I was offered the role and I immediately said yes. The truth is, I learned about this game when the rest of the world did. We all saw that teaser trailer that they put out at the end of 2020. And shortly thereafter, a director that I had never worked with before called me and said, "Hey, I like you for this role." And I said, "Are they looking for Harrison Ford? Is that what they want?" He goes, "We want 1981 Harrison Ford." And I said, "Great. I'm going to give you two names. And you're going to give a call to one of these two people. And they're going to solve your problem." And oddly enough, I even punted, I was like, "I don't think I should do that, man. Maybe like, is there another character? What about the bad guy? Maybe I could play the bad guy." And Tom goes, "We've got that covered." So they had already cast Marios and they were struggling to find their Indiana Jones. And so I told him, I was like, "Look, I'll put myself on tape. And if you think it's good enough to send, then go for it. But if it's not, do us both a favor, man, and keep it between you and I." And so he sent it on, and after several more rounds of auditions and meetings with a slew of people that had to give me the thumbs up, they finally pitched me to Todd Howard, the executive producer at Bethesda, and Todd goes, "I do not want Troy Baker in my game." Specifically called me out. Ooh. So I was not only in competition with 1,000 other people, but I was also in competition with myself. And it ultimately came down to a blind taste test between me and two other really, really strong candidates. And they were like, "They picked you every time." And at first I took that as a compliment. And I realized very quickly it was a challenge. It's like, this is the standard. This is what we're going for. Can you hit this every time? Mm-hmm. And fortunately, with an incredibly caring and capable hand of Tom Keegan guiding me through and reminding me of what's most important, which is not for me to convince you that I'm Indiana Jones, but that the real challenge is, and I've said this a lot today, but it's the truth, is can I convince you that you're Indiana Jones? Because that's really who's on this ride is you.
So exactly, that's my job. Because it's a first-person game. It's not third-person like many people expected. But how do you prepare then for, you know, all the characters you've played so far? They've been fictional characters. They've been fantasy, basically. And now you're Harrison Ford in his, one of his most iconic roles. How do you prepare for that? I mean, we all know the movies and everything, but where do you start? And what are some things that go more in depth that you worked on?
I mean, I would love to tell you that the process, that the same thing as the audition, I'd love to say that the process that I found the first one was the right one, and it wasn't. The first process was I completely immersed myself in everything that I could. I set out to work with a very capable fight choreographer, and I trained with a whip master named Doc Duhame, who took me out to a park and taught me how to crack a whip, which is a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. We made a lot of noise and scared a lot of people. And then it was watching Raiders and diving into Temple and revisiting Last Crusade and playing the games and reading graphic novels and just really, really immersing myself in this character. And then realizing that those things were informing me, but they weren't serving the character, because Harrison Ford doesn't wake up every morning and go, remember, you're Harrison Ford. He doesn't get into character. He's just himself.
Yeah.
And Indiana Jones has no idea that he's in a movie.
Yeah.
He's just living his life. And so for me, it was when I finally trusted that I knew who this character was. And I also had a team of people behind me. If I ever had a question, they could help me answer it. And I just needed to be in that moment at that time as that person. And that's it.
So what have you learned during that preparation and then recording everything you needed to record for the game? Are there maybe some specific mannerisms or mimicry from Harrison Ford,
sure,
where you're like, yeah, this is so specific that maybe people don't consciously pick up on it, but when they see it, they know this is Indiana Jones, this is Harrison Ford?
It's, to me, I mean, there is, Harrison Ford has a smile like no other. And it's I can't even do it. My face doesn't move.
He's more wine.
He's devastatingly handsome. But it's that, there's just such a childish boyhood wonder that he has.
Yeah.
And that's inherent to who he is. So it's the smile, it's the smirk of discovery of I outsmarted you, all of it.
Yeah.
The one thing that I was leaning on too much is the finger wag. You know, he loves the point.
Yeah.
And at one point, Tom Keegan came over and he had given a bunch of notes and he just looked at me and goes, lose the finger wag. It's like, you're doing it too much. And I realized that I was leaning on all these mannerisms to try to do an impression as opposed to just stand there. And so much of what we think about Indiana Jones is like, even this picture behind us,
yeah,
it's like, it's just that stance. It's the way that he stands, ready for anything. That to me is Indiana Jones more than it is a finger wag.
Okay. So it's walking like a thin red line, so it doesn't become more of a caricature where you do just pick some things and do them too much.
It's precisely it. There's a performance, there's an impression, there's a performance. And what I didn't want to do was an impression. What I really wanted to do was a believable performance.
Mm-hmm. So you said you had whip cracking or whip, yeah, lessons. But why? Did you really have to use the whip in the motion capturing?
So,
or was it just like, hey, well, if I'm going to be Indiana Jones, I'm going to go all the way?
It was that. If I'm going to be Indiana Jones, I'm going to go all the way. And so I went out, I bought my own whip. I brought this whip to set, which I realized you should never bring your own whip to set.
Okay.
Why? Because you'll get a lot of head turns. It was like, could you please put that down? And I had this whip and I would just kind of in between setups, I would, you know, just work with it. And the thing that did help me is, I was ready to crack that whip whenever they wanted to. And it's like, do you want to use a 6-foot whip, 8-foot whip, 10-foot whip? Because it depended upon what he was wearing. And I learned all these, you know, facts about Indiana Jones and his whip. And like, if you look in Raiders, when you first see him and he cracks that whip, the whip that he uses to crack the gun out of that guy's hand is not the same whip that he's coiling, and it's not the same whip that goes on his hip. You're going to use probably a 6-foot whip, maybe an 8-foot whip for that whip gag. You're going to coil an 8-foot or 10-foot whip, and there may be a 10 or 12-foot whip that he's going to have on his, because it looks thicker when he's actually carrying it. So I go to use the whip, and I'm like ready because we're about to do this big gag. It's like, oh, this is one of the first times we're actually going to use the whip. And I'm like, I'm ready. And they go, you're not going to do the whip. And I was like, I can do it. You don't have to use a stunt person. I've trained for this. They're like, if Indiana Jones is going to use the whip, we're going to let the player do that. And I went, right, we're making a game. And I realized if there's anything fun that Indiana Jones is going to do, you want to let the player do that.
Yeah.
So, but at the same time, if I didn't know how to hold that whip, you wouldn't believe that you were capable of using that whip. So it's a partnership between you and I. It's the partnership of my performance with your performance as a character, or my performance as a character and your performance as a player. And together we make Indiana Jones.
Was the team impressed that you were able to nerd out about a whip that much?
About the whip, not so much. They were actually a little afraid. But the thing that I loved is I slotted very well in with the rest of the team as far as my nerdery over Indiana Jones. because everybody from Todd Howard down, we could each push our glasses up. Well, actually, if you look in Last Crusade, what he's actually using is, and to be able to talk about Indiana Jones and speak to this world with the level of love and passion that we all have, all of us woke up every day just pinching ourselves, can't believe that we're making the game of our dreams, right? And that's everybody, top down, from Bethesda to Machine Games, all the way down. We're making the game of our dreams.
So what's your favorite Indiana Jones moment?
Of everything?
Of everything, yeah.
Man, that is, I can't even come up with a singular moment. There's moments in Raiders that are, I mean, I think about John Williams' score so much. Mm-hmm. And everything that we hear from, you know, Flight from Peru to the map room to Marion's theme to the Raiders March, and how each of those separate cues underscore those specific moments. But I think I have my favorite moment with each of these stories.
Yeah.
And what I love now is I have my favorite moments with our story. Like, okay. I'm excited for you to play the game. I love the beginning of our game. Okay. I think it's one of the things I'm the most excited about. And the very end of our game is one of my favorite scenes. And I remember when they first walked me through the story and they said, we want you to understand the story that we're asking you to be a part of.
Okay.
And they walked me beat by beat. And when we got to the end, I was like, well, not only do I want to do this, now I have to do this. Yeah. So not only is it a game that I want you to play, but it's a game you got to finish.
Okay. So, just hypothetically speaking, sure. We have a fight between Indiana Jones and Joel from Last of Us.
I knew you were going to say this.
Who do you think would take the cake?
Oh, man. Is a whip involved?
I'd say
if a whip is involved, Indy's going to take it because he's going to get distance.
I'd say no whip is involved. It's just fisticuffs.
Here's what I will indulge your fantasy. What I love is... It's going to be kind of like John Carpenter's The Thing. The two of them are just going to fight until they're just broken, or they live, maybe is a better analog for it. Those are two survivors that just don't know how or when to quit.
Yeah. They're similar in that book.
They're very much, I would say at the end of the day, though, they're both going to buy each other a drink.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good answer. So, of course, nowadays with video game productions, AI is becoming more and more of a thing. And especially when it comes to voice acting, there's AI programs that can do voices. Sure. And I mean, there's a program that can take my voice and translate it into different languages, even using lip synchronization. Are you worried about this kind of stuff? Do you see it as an opportunity maybe to license your voice? How do you feel about this?
There's no way we could even begin to get into that conversation here. And what I'm grateful for is that I believe in art, and I believe that what we do is art. Mm-hmm. And I believe that at the end of the day, what always wins out is art. And what I can say is about everybody on this team, look, if you wanted an opportunity to use technology, you could have 100% cast, you know, or you could have 100% use technology to give you a performance. This is a company that chose to use humans to do, to help create this art every step of the way. So it's such a nuanced conversation. But what I can tell you is that I'm an artist. I love art. I support art, and I support artists making art.
Okay. Okay, understandable. Yeah, it is a tough thing. So coming back to the game, how much of the game have you played? Have you been able to play the game at all or finish it?
Very little. No, not finished it. And what I love is I get to finish this thing, or I get to play this thing. It's like Christmas. I love that it's coming out in December because it's very appropriate for me. Because every time I get to play a game, it's like Christmas morning. Mm-hmm. I've played the beginning of our game. And I've played through the brief hands-on demo that we did. We got to show the rest of the world. So I've seen that's barely scratching the surface of how deep this game goes. Mm-hmm. It's long. This is a big game. So what I have seen is exactly what I was hoping for, which was like, oh, I'm playing the movie. Like, mm-hmm. it very much feels like I'm inside of this Indiana Jones tale. inside this story and playing something that I've always wanted to play my entire life.
Has there ever been a voice job that you really wanted to do and that you did not get? And if so, can you maybe tell us which one that was? Or did you pursue any kind of voice work where you're like, oh, I think I'm the perfect guy for this, and then maybe you didn't get it?
Sure. I mean, I'm trying to think of like a specific example of, you know, what was one that I wanted that I didn't get that I thought that I was right for. I mean, that's a lot. And the truth is that if I didn't get it, I wasn't the right person for it. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean that I could not have done the job, but I only become the right person for the job when I get the job. Mm-hmm. Until then, I'm an option, but I'm not the right person for it. So there's never been a time where I go, I should have gotten that. Because if I got it, maybe it would have been worse. Mm-hmm. And any of the roles that I look at now and go, oh, I love that role. Roger Clark is a perfect example. I love Roger Clark and I love his performance. I'm glad that I didn't get that job. I never auditioned for it, but I'm saying, what I love about that role is what he brought to it. So why would I ever take anything the other way? And I don't have anything until I have it. And I don't think that I have false ownership of something until it's been given to me. I'm a custodian of this character for a brief amount of time. And while I have it, I will do it. I will show it the respect and the honor that it's worthy of. But I'm only ripe for it because those people said, we believe you can do it. And I just wanted to live up to their decision every day and make it right. I want to live up to, I wanted to make Harrison Ford proud, sure, but I also wanted to make sure that ultimately you as the player, like he was the right person for that.
Did you ever get to talk to Harrison Ford about this? Or was he involved in any sort of process with this game?
Man, for me personally, yes, because he informed everything that I did so much. So in a lot of ways, he's talking to me through his performance. If I ever get the opportunity to tell him, you know, how much he meant to me, I would look forward to that. We'll see.
We'll see. We saw you, of course, also in the Last of Us TV show. Is the acting more than the voice work is something you're also actively pursuing, or do you take it however it comes to you?
I take it how it comes. I mean, to me, acting is acting is acting. I was just telling someone earlier, it's like, this is all about an economy of trust and resources. If I'm sitting on the set of The Last of Us and I'm in Calgary, Canada, and it's freezing cold and I'm in wardrobe, I'm outside by a river and I've got a rifle in my hands and there's three cameras on me, that's a lot of resources that they are trusting me with to go, now give us the performance that we need for this character. If I'm on a stage in Stockholm with my fellow castmates and they've built plywood sets, but I'm in a mocap suit and a camera's hanging off my face, some of those resources have been taken away, but the job still remains the same.
Yeah.
I need to convince you that this is really happening and that you believe this and you feel something. Or if I step into my booth at home and I've got a microphone, a script, and somebody on Zoom, the job never changes.
Yeah, you got to put it all in. So if you were to compare this game with the movies, which movie do you think it would come closest to? Which one of the Indiana Jones movies?
I think that chronologically it's going to come closest, obviously, to Raiders. And I think that tonally it feels very Raiders to me. But what I do love, and I have to say, and it feels like a cop-out answer, but it's so true. Because of who made this, there's like Todd Howard, his favorite is Temple of Doom. So you're going to feel that kind of almost whimsical nature, yeah, of Temple, the moments of levity from like Temple that's going to be in here. You're going to feel the majestic, epic size of this, mm-hmm, of Raiders. You're going to feel the heart of Last Crusade. So the beauty is that we now have 40 years worth of source material to come from. And there's even, not, you know, without giving too much away, there's you know, tips of the hat, if you will, to some of the other superfluous content we've seen, like through the graphic novels or something else. So we also have the TV show to pull from. We also have other games to pull from. And so there's so many iterations and instantiations of this IP that have happened over the last four decades that we have to pull from. Yeah. So I'll be curious to see what you pick out.
Okay. Have you ever played Fate of Atlantis?
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
It's so funny because I went back through and I'm playing it again, and I loved all the point-and-click adventures. games used to be really hard.
Yeah. That one toughie. That one is a toughie.
So, like, if you understand kind of the mechanics of a point-and-click adventure, then, oh, the menu system kind of makes sense. As great a performance as that is, I hope that my performance maybe is a little closer to Harrison Ford than what we had in Fate of Atlantis. But I actually just recently read the graphic novel to that, and Hal Underwood, who was the creative director on that, gives an afterword in that graphic novel as they're making the game, and they're like, here's the introduction. This graphic novel is the introduction to our game. We hope that you play our game. And it's a really cool time capsule.
Okay, so final question.
Yes.
Which one's your favorite indie movie?
For me, I got to say Raiders is going to be the top of the list. It was my introduction into it. There's so much about, to me, Indiana Jones is you tick every box with Raiders.
I agree with that. I think it's so nice and dark also. He's so mysterious in the beginning. Yeah. And I love the humorous side of Indiana Jones as well and everything. Sure. But there's an earnesty in that movie that I don't miss in the other ones, but that I appreciate in this movie a lot.
I don't want to misquote him, but I believe Harrison Ford said that Indiana Jones is about mystery, adventure, and heart. And it definitely has all three of those. And fortunately, I feel that those are the three things we have as well.
Yeah, wonderful. All right.
Thank you, Felix.
Very much looking forward to the game. Thank you for taking the time.
My pleasure.
Ich bin sehr gespannt darauf, auf jeden Fall, weil Troy Baker, wie gesagt, wird Indiana Jones sein. Und vom finalen Ergebnis werden wir uns dann überzeugen, wenn das Spiel draußen ist.
It's time to turn your daydream into your dream job. Wix gives you the power to turn your passion into a moneymaker with a website that fits your unique vision and drives you towards your goals. Let your ideas flow with AI tools that guide you, but give you full control and flexibility. Manage your business from one dashboard and keep it growing with built-in marketing features. Get everything you need to turn your part-time passion into a full-time business. Go to Wix.com.